You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Thursday, May 28th, episode 3960, brought to you by Spalding Fly Predators. Good morning, horse world. Well, as you know, we are off this month, and we'll be back here on Monday together for a brand new show, if the travel gods like us. The travel episode that we normally do on the fourth Thursday of the month is on break for a few months. Seeing you all seem to like the ancient episode from our beginnings in 2010, I thought I'd bring you more of them. I really thought the sound would be too bad, but it didn't seem to bother you too much, so we'll bring some more to you. Maybe I'll even throw in a few on the weekends if I feel ambitious. I'll go through the back catalog and pick ones that I think are the best from every week in order. That way you can see how the show changed a bit over time. We're in week two with this one, November 11th of 2010. At the beginning, Jamie and I were on 5 days a week. I think it was the second or third year that she had Lucas is when we started the current system, where Jamie and I are Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and then we had specials on Tuesday and Thursday. This one, we had our first vet on the show, and the callers let us know about their incredible vet stories. So here you go. Tune in that dial to the AM station WHRN, the Horses in the Morning Show.
I am Glenn the Geek from beautiful Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 11th, 2010, Episode 9, sponsored by Easy Signs Online. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Jamie and Jennifer, who's hanging out over there. I just wanted to start the show today, if we could, Jamie. It is Veterans Day, and we wanted to pay tribute to all the veterans and current active military out there, and I know that this is very close to your heart and mine. So yeah. We wanted to, you know, say a happy Veterans Day to all the veterans all over the world, for that matter. We have listeners all over the world, and there's certainly veterans in other countries as well. We want everybody that's listening in another country, bear with us a little bit today. We're going to be showing our patriotism a little bit here in the United States.
Well, happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. It is a huge honor to have you unbelievably brave people in our country taking care of us. And that's why we set aside this day for you and your families and everybody involved. You know, it's an honor to talk to and meet so many veterans from the past wars, and to have somebody in my family, to have just married somebody who's in the Air Force that serves our country and is so proud to do it, is it really is an honor. And this has actually made this Veterans Day a little bit more special to me, simply because I'm actually married to a veteran. So it's an honor. And thanks, Glenn, for playing that.
You're very welcome, Jamie. And I know, well, go ahead and give a shout out to your husband.
Major Chad Jennings of the United States Air Force. Happy Veterans Day. And of course, my father-in-law, my grandfather-in-law, and his whole entire family. Let's see, my uncle was a Navy captain. He's retired. And I have a lot of family that is in and has been in the armed services. So it is definitely an honor for this day. And it's cool to celebrate a little bit closer to home.
Well, I want to give a shout out to my dad, who's no longer with us, but I'm sure is listening to the show at this very moment, who, as I said, was a Marine during the time of the Korean War. Also, a current active member of our family is Jason, who is in the Air Force, actually stationed in California right now. So we're going to give him a shout out too, a nephew of mine. And Jennifer, I know you have a couple too.
My grandpa was a military man, and shout out to him. And also my older brother, Dan, 30-year veteran, is now retired and is actually a Microsoft programmer nowadays that he's finished playing in the sandbox. And shout out to him, too.
Well, we want everybody. Well, I was just going to say, I wanted to throw another shout out to an active group right now that's having a little bit of trouble over in Afghanistan. It's the Camp Pendleton 3rd Battalion, 5th Marine Regiment, who is in one of the most fierce firefights in the last 10 years, trying to take this little town back from the insurgents called Sangin. And apparently what's happened is they've cleared all the areas around that town and all the insurgents are holed up there that are left. And they put on quite a fight. It's been one of the toughest battles of the last 10 years. And they've lost 14 Marines out of this regiment and battalion and regiment in the last month during this battle. So, you know, say a prayer for them, too.
Absolutely. And if you want to call in and you want to give a shout out on this Veterans Day and celebrate somebody that you know, 347-637-3238. We'll be taking your calls throughout the show. And speaking of today's show, what do we have coming up, Jennifer?
We have coming up today, Jessica Newman from Just World International, a really great charity group that she started that involved a lot of famous and I'm sure not so famous horse folks that we wanted to talk to her about. And also we have Vet Tales with Dr. Carrie DeLue. She's going to be coming on regularly to talk to us about all the fun, exciting, interesting, silly, wacky adventures as a veterinarian that she's experienced.
Well, the daily prize today is a pair of World Equestrian Brand Stretch Flex Bandages. We thought that would be appropriate on Vet Bill Roulette Day. So when people are calling in about their vet bills, these are some great bandages. They're worth $90. And we actually highlighted them and talked about them on the Tack and Habit show at tackandhabit.com, episode number 23. We had a friend of ours test these out, these Stretch Flex bandages. And she absolutely loves them. She uses them every day on four horses that she rides every day. And she absolutely loves these. So when your horse needs extra protection and support, these training wraps are the perfect choice. They're made with a very breathable material. And the hotter your horse gets, actually, the more breathable the wrap. And they're not like the neoprene ones that get all kind of gunky. You know how when they get hot, they get gunky under there, Janie? Well, this doesn't happen with these. You don't get that gunky thing going on and you don't have to clean their legs off and things like that. So we thought this would be a perfect thing. We thank World Equestrian Brands for donating them. You can pick the size of your choice for the horse of your choice. So you can choose any one of their sizes that they have. And if you want to hear more about these, just go to tackandhabit.com and listen to Helene and I on episode number 23. And of course,
now we also have some grand prizes. Yeah. Everybody that calls in is entered to win some pretty awesome grand prizes as well. A $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. Check out their stuff. Start making a shopping cart at equestriancollections.com. And also, another winner is going to win your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. That also from worldequestrianbrands.com. So some pretty awesome things to ease the pain of your veterinary bill.
I want to say, let's do it this way. Let's do it this way, Jamie. Anybody that calls in with for any reason, whether it's a shout out to the veteran in their family or a current active military member or a past member, or anybody that calls in for Bet Bill Roulette, anybody can qualify for both of them, for the big prizes for the month and also the Stretch Flex bandages from World Equestrian Brand. So anybody we hear from today.
I love it. Hey, by the way, we love your calls, but we also love your emails. And I got one from Karen, who is listening in Oregon, Glenn. I just want to tell you that she says, I love the YouTube videos you're posting. They really do a good job of explaining what you're talking about on Horses in the Morning. I also, and I know you'll love this, I also love the Horses in the Morning logo. It is very attractive. Thanks for the Horse Radio Network from Karen in Oregon. And Karen, thank you. You know, all of the, like, it's really hard to explain ski-joring without posting a video to accompany it so you can see what we're talking about. And Glenn really does work pretty hard on that. And we love our Horses in the Morning logo. So thanks so much for writing in.
And of course, those videos can be found on our show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You just go to the individual episode for the day. And we put links up to all the guests that we have. And we also put our show notes on there. So you can find all of those at horsesinthemorning.com. That's what she was talking about. Obviously, she found it. And as far as our logo is concerned, Janie, we have gotten more reaction to that logo than any other thing that we have done at the Horse Radio Network. The Horses in the Morning and the Horse Radio Network new logo with the little microphone guy with what Newman is his name. And that, those were all done by Sherry Wood of the Orion Group. That's A-R-I-O-N Group. You can actually find them on Facebook. Just search Orion Group and they're on there and they do some fantastic work. I highly recommend them. If you're looking for a logo for your business, I'm going to give a free plug here to Sherry Wood. She deserves it. We're going to get all of our work done. She did our flyers now, and she has done everything for us since those logos. And she's a horse person. She understands horse people and what you want. So terrific job, Sherry. We're getting more compliments, as I said, on our logos than anything else right now. It's amazing. And we did get another email, Jamie. This one was from Ursula in South Africa. We have listeners, as you know, all over the world. Yeah. She says, I'm not sure if you'll remember me, but we met at the convention center in downtown Lexington at the beginning of the World Equestrian Games. Unfortunately, thereafter, we were there while you were broadcasting or after closing time. We did not see you and Samantha, or we did see you and Samantha busily interviewing riders around the horse park. However, I'm delighted that your new program, Horses in the Morning, is up and running. And we just want you to know that we are enjoying it very much. I was feeling rather sad when WEG coverage came to an end. I listened to all the show coverage when I got back from the States, and it was good to catch up on some of the stuff that we had not seen, like reining, vaulting, and paradressage. I was wondering if you would be doing a similar build-up program to the Olympics in 2010. That would be awesome if you could. It made such a difference to us knowing some of the background on the horses and riders at the WEG. Lastly, I would just like to say that we had the most amazing time in the United States. The folks there were super friendly and helpful. It is really beautiful in Lexington and the surrounding areas, and we will definitely be back. The Kentucky Horse Park has to be the number one equestrian venue in the world. Good luck with your show. Keep up with the good work. And I am sure there are many people around the world who are enjoying it as much as I am. Well, thank you to Ursula. We met her. She came in the first night we were recording at the World Equestrian Games, and she came over and said hi with her friend. And let me tell you, Jamie, it was mighty special that the first listeners we got to meet at the World Equestrian Games were from South Africa, of all places.
Yeah, that is so cool. And we really appreciate them listening down there in South Africa, down there. But in South Africa, thanks to Ursula. And I guess, Glenn, you have some pretty cool news for everybody, don't you?
Yes, I do. Remember yesterday we talked about the fact that we were going to be You're tonight going to be leaving us. This is your last show of the week, Jamie. I'm going to miss you.
I know. I'm going to miss it too. I'm heading to a wedding in New Orleans and not going to be on the air tomorrow. But Samantha decided to, and it's, who's filling in for me? I forget.
Helena's filling in tomorrow.
Helena's filling in. I was thinking Samantha, but no, it's Helena's going to fill in for me tomorrow morning. So thank you very much for doing that, Helena. So you'll be okay. That's your statement.
I know, but I kind of look forward to waking up and chatting with you every morning now. It's kind of been a thing now, you know, gotten used to it. But we are also leaving. You're leaving tonight for New Orleans for your first trip there, and I don't suspect that you'll be sober anytime before Monday. So we are actually leaving tomorrow after the show for Florida. We're going down to Ocala, beautiful Ocala, for the family reunion down there over the weekend. And we're going to be heading down to Disney World and to the Disney Studios on Sunday. But Monday, we've gotten a special invitation that we could not pass up. Jennifer and I are going to have the privilege of heading over to Arabian Night, the dinner theater there. And we're going to be recording a Stable Scoop show there from in the afternoon. And we're going to get to see them rehearsed in the afternoon and get to talk to some of the performers and the person that takes care of the barn there and everything. So it's just going to be fun. We're going to record the whole show from Arabian Nights. Have you ever been there, Jamie?
No, I have never been to Arabian Nights, but I used to see the billboards all the time when I was a kid, and my parents would drive us down to Florida to visit my grandparents. And I would always see the billboards. I want to go to Arabian Nights, Mom. Okay, honey, maybe next time. And never got to go.
We've been there, Jennifer. How many times have we been there? A few.
A bunch.
Yeah.
A bunch.
We love that show. It's a great show. But we're theater people. We love theater anyway. So for us, having owned an acting company before and done many, many, many years of theater, it's going to be neat for us because this combines theater and horses. This is going to be like a dream afternoon for us.
Oh, it should be fun. The only thing I can think of that would be close to that is medieval times. And I've seen that in a couple different states. Love it.
And we have Karen that has called in. Let's take a call from Karen, who's doing a shout out to the veterans today. And Karen, you're on the air. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to
send
out a shout out to my father, Howard Gant, who has been in the Navy for 25 years and retired.
Wow. 25 years in the Navy.
And we thank him for his service. What does this day mean to you? This is my first day as married to a veteran, first Veterans Day. So what does the day mean to you having a family member?
Oh, it's wonderful. My son is in the Army and my nephew's in the Army. They're on the ROTC program here at Rowan University. And it's every year I participate in the service. This year they moved it out of town, so I cannot participate. But I'm involved in the American Legion Auxiliary. And our family is very, very much service-oriented. We participate in the Memorial Day parades every year also.
And I assume you're a horse person, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have a Pasadena for 3 years now. I love it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Tell us about Pasadenas. They're always fascinated me. What is it about their personality that people seem to love so much?
Very kind, very loyal, very smart. The high steppers, they only put one foot on the ground at one time, so the rider rides very smoothly. It's very nice.
And is that your, would you say that's your breed of choice now? You wouldn't have anything but a Pasadena at this point?
No, I wouldn't say that. I still like that the older horses and the paints.
Well, that's great, Karen. We thank you so much for calling us today, and we'll put your family members in our prayers on this day as well.
Thank you very much.
And thank your family for their service.
That was nice of Karen to call in like that. We appreciate it. If you want to call in, you can do so and give a shout out to your family members as well at 347-637-3238. And of course, we can't forget. We have to remember. We can't forget. We have to remember. There's a double one. We have to remember that horses were a big part of military service through the First World War. There were thousands and thousands and thousands of horses used all the way through the First World War. And of course, many, many, many horses have died through the wars over the history. I forget what the number was in the Civil War, but it was some huge amount of horses died in the Civil War. So we can't forget. We have to remember the horses that fought in battle as well.
Absolutely. All the way throughout history. Where would America be without horses? I'm telling you, we'd still be on the boat.
Well, now, as far as vet bills go, you know, we want you to call out your vet bills, too. You know, we want to hear about your large vet bills. And I know you've had a few, Jamie, and I think we're going to talk about that in a little while here, aren't we?
Well, yeah, but, you know, it's we have some huge, I've had a couple really big ones, but the ones that really surprise you are the worst, Glenn. You know, not too long ago, I woke up, we just moved into the farm and I was just kind of getting things situated and the horses were here and we had a little tack shed that I was keeping the grain in. And we wake up and my husband goes, oh my gosh, Jet's in the shed. One of our thoroughbreds is named Jet. So we go running out there. He has eaten 30 pounds of grain. So of course that immediately we load him up into the trailer, take him into the equine clinic down the street, get his stomach pumped. And you know, that's a $350 vet bill. Just good morning. Here's your $300 vet bill. So that kind of stuff happens to everybody, I'm sure. And we definitely want to hear about yours. We're going to ease the pain a little bit by giving you some cool prizes. So might as well call in and sell yourself out. How much did you spend on your vet bill? 347-637-3238.
And Jamie, while we're waiting for our first guest here today, I have a little surprise for you. You know how the other day when Tom McCutcheon, Tom McCutcheon was on the other day? No, it's not that bad. Was on the other day, you asked him some questions at the end and you know, they're kind of silly, fun questions to get to know him. Well, you're the new member here of the Horse Radio Network. You're the rookie. So I have some questions that I'm going to ask you over the next couple of times that we're on the air here. Yes. Yes.
Uh-oh.
So I have some questions for you. Ready? Well, I think actually that I've lost Jamie here. It looks like she has been knocked off the air. I did have some questions for her. And I, you know, wanted to mention in the meantime, while we're waiting for Jamie to get back on the air here, is by the way, this is all brand new technology that we're using. And sometimes the internet is not as reliable as we'd like it to be. And everybody knows that for sure. The internet can be a bit tricky at times. So I would like to mention that we are putting out all of our shows this week. They're coming out right now. And I wanted to mention the Tack and Habit radio show that we talked about earlier. We have a show that just came out on Tack and Habit, and it was a great show all about stocking stuffers. Tack and Habit's the show that Helena B. and I do, talking about the stocking stuffers that you want to buy for your professionals this Christmas. You can buy, you know, these are great things that would be good gifts for your vet or for your farrier, anybody really. So we want you to hop on over to tackandhabit.com, take a listen to Helene and I talking about the stocking stuffers that you need this year. Well, we have our first guest on the line. I'm going to get to Jessica in just a moment. But first, we need to talk about our sponsor for this half hour, and that's EasySignsOnline.com. With the holidays approaching fast, it's time to start thinking about a unique gift this year for that special someone. An affordable and durable personalized sign is a gift that will be appreciated for many years to come. Visit our friends at EasySignsOnline.com and browse their unique website to see their many custom sign options and styles. Their step-by-step sign ordering process allows you to choose sign options and to see all the pricing up front. From vinyl banners, magnetic vehicle signs, stall name plates, to farm entrance signs, they have the sign that you need for your farm. With a sign to suit every budget, gift giving has never been so easy and fun. This week's special offer is 10% off all listed prices and free shipping. Plan your shopping now and take advantage of that special offer today. That's EasySignsOnline.com. And now we have with us a special guest. Her name is Jessica Newman. She is a former jumper rider who was very successful, and she is retired now from riding and decided to start a project that can make all riders everywhere proud. She founded a company called Just World International, and we're going to get Jessica on the line right now. Jessica, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Jessica, and welcome to Horses in the Morning. We appreciate you being on with us.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure and an honor to have been asked to be with you today.
Well, you know, we've been friends on Facebook for a while now, and I've been following you, and I've been watching all the different riders and the different things that you do. But before we get into Just World International, tell me just a little bit about your background and history in the horse world.
I've been competing since I was 4 years old in hunter jumper world, and mainly in the jumpers, junior jumpers. I rode on the U.S. equestrian team and competed in many Nations Cups and World Cups for many years until I was 22. And I came from a very privileged background, like is the case of a lot of equestrians at that level. And felt when I was 22 that it was time for me to give back and help others, which is what inspired me to start Just World.
Well, that's terrific. And did I get it right to say you retired from active professional riding. Am I right there?
Yes, I did. I completely stopped.
I didn't want to insult you.
Not at all.
Now, tell us then, what motivated you to start Just World International, and then we'll talk about what it is. But what was the motivation behind it?
Well, the motivation at first, I'd say in the first stage, I didn't know that I knew I wanted to help people, but I didn't exactly know what. So I stopped riding, sold my horses, and went to Honduras to help the victims of Hurricane Mitch. And that was my first encounter with extreme poverty, which completely changed my life around and confirmed that my life purpose was to help others and to do something to help people that were born in such unfortunate situations. So that's how I started. I spent several years working in the international humanitarian field, learning about the needs and what could be done, and then had the feeling that the best and most productive, sustainable way to help people was to start working with kids living in extreme poverty, because that gave the best chance for success as adults. So that's what inspired me. I worked with several organizations that had a lot of bureaucracy and the policy making, which of course is important as well, and wanted to create my own organization that would go straight to the people, pass the red tape, and have as little bureaucracy and administration as possible.
And that's why that's where Just World International came from then.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So tell us what Just World International, you know, first of all, thank you for what you do. It's absolutely amazing that you can enter these communities, but tell everybody what exactly you do for the communities that are struggling.
Well, we're a humanitarian organization that helps children living in extreme poverty in developing countries. And we do that by working with local grassroots organizations in these countries. So Just World doesn't have a big administration that goes in and manages the project. We directly supervise and have all the checks and balances and make sure that we work with local organizations who have a track record, who are small enough that we can have a big impact, but also have the vision and the management and leadership abilities that it's going to be sustainable and long term. We also, our criteria is we work with organizations that focus on impoverished children, education, basic health and hygiene, nutrition, and vocational training. So everything that surrounds the education is what is absolutely key to the organizations with whom we work.
And what now, countries are you helping for the most part?
Right now, we have projects in Brazil, Senegal, Cambodia, Honduras, and Guatemala. But what we would like to do is replicate the model that has built in Guatemala, where the equestrian world in Guatemala is supporting our Just World project in Guatemala, and have that move to equestrians everywhere in each country that can support projects in their country.
And that's one of the fascinating things about your program. You know, obviously, we're a program dedicated to horse people everywhere around the world. And that's one of the fascinating things about your program is your ambassador program. I really love that term, by the way. Tell us about the riding ambassadors, the athletes that are helping you out in your fundraising for this.
Well, something that was key to me, having been an equestrian competitor my entire life, realizing that we're so focused on the sport, which you have to be, it's all consuming, that you kind of live in a bubble and don't have the time or ability to be involved in charities outside the horse world, because it's just so time consuming and focused. And I realized like that was a big lack in my life. So my inspiration was to bring Just World back to the equestrian world and give an opportunity for equestrians to be involved without taking away from their profession, or if they're a junior, their time is pretty much consumed between school and the horses. Amateurs, if they work, and the horses, and professionals, it's pretty much 24/7 the horses. So that's where that inspiration came from. What was really important to me as well was to not just have a charity that people wrote a check to or went to a gala to once a year, but that they were really more involved, so that they became spokespeople and it's something they could follow all year long and be able to support in different ways throughout the equestrian community. So I think that's a big part of Just World's uniqueness, is it was born from within the equestrian world and is fueled from within the equestrian world so that equestrians can be involved in it. So it's really a grassroots equestrian movement.
Now, come on, Jessica, name some names. Who are some of the riders? You got to name some names.
Well, we have actually in our newsletter and on our website, we have a list of all our riders. If you look at the top professionals that are involved, we actually have Kevin Stout, who's number one in the world rankings right now from France, Eric Lamaze, who's number two in the world rankings, who's the Olympic gold medalist, as everybody knows, who's been an ambassador and a very big supporter. Laura Kraut, who's on the U.S. equestrian team, is an ambassador as well. Candace King, Kevin Babington, who rode for Ireland in the Olympics. We do have some wonderful star professionals. And the important thing to know is that all of them, everybody that is part of Just World has come to us. We don't recruit anybody, whether it's the professionals, the juniors, the amateurs, or now the technical officials. They all come to us. They fill out an application, why they want to be involved. And they commit to either donating a percentage of prize money or making an annual donation, and always, whenever possible, making themselves available with their time to help raise funds and awareness.
Well, I noticed too on your website that you also take volunteers who can actually go travel and help out. Is that right?
Yes, we do. We generally, actually, we're leaving on Monday for a trip to Guatemala, where we have 23 ambassadors and donors who will be joining us. It's a two-day project visit along with an international horse show that's a Just World benefit for that project. And we do one-week trips. We have another trip to Cambodia to visit our project there at the beginning of December. So we have many ambassadors and donors who come accompany us on the trip to come visit the project, because it's very important to us for people to see where the money is going and who it's helping, on top of having a life-changing experience. Another possibility, we with those who might be family members or others who are not as involved in the horses, they tend to ask to go volunteer for longer periods of time, anywhere from 1 to 9 months. So those are different possibilities.
Okay, great. And of course, they can find all the information about Just World on your website. It's justworldinternational.org. And I'm seeing on your website that they can donate there as well, right?
Yes, absolutely. We always appreciate the donations, as the need is tremendous. And the more money we raise, the more kids that we can help. And the programs are ever expanding to incorporate and help more and more children living in poverty.
Well, I appreciate you being on to talk about Just World. We did want to make sure, we're going to put links on our show notes to it as well. And we encourage all the listeners out there. I know we have listeners around the world. We heard some of them here on the show today. That this is a just cause. It is a just cause, and it is, you're helping support somebody who was in the horse world, who started something that can be supported by the horse world. And there's not too many of those charities that out there that grew up in the horse world and are funded by the horse world that reach outside the horse world, which is, I think, what makes yours very unique.
It is, and it's exciting. I even see on Facebook, our ambassadors' chapters are starting to form all over the world. And to see our ambassadors just about every week, you can find a Just World event going on somewhere, whether it's a horseless horse show or a fundraiser at a school, or one of the ambassadors who made their Sweet 16 birthday parties asking for gifts and for donations in lieu of gifts. And there's something going on, a benefit clinic, just about every week all over. So it's very exciting to see how it's brought the international equestrian community together.
Well, Jessica, we're also allowing, if you have any veterans in your family today, we're allowing you to give a shout out to the veterans. We're asking everybody today. So I don't know if you have any or not.
I actually do not.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to give you a chance there. Well, thank you for joining us today. We really appreciate it. That's Just World International at justworldinternational.org. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye, Glenn.
Bye. What a cool thing. Yeah, what a great thing for an international, you know, a horse person goes down and hits a grassroots marketing and campaign to help people all over the world. That's absolutely important. And we thank her for her work.
When you got to, when I lost you there, I was about to say that I was about to start asking you questions.
Internet connection just died. You know, we're a slave to technology, unfortunately. Yeah, and I really was thinking you might have thought I hung up on purpose.
I did. I actually did think you hung up on me, because I had set that up and I was like, okay, she's scared and doesn't want to answer my questions.
I can take it. Come on, bring it.
Well, I'm going to ask you one, and then we'll go to the news. Well, we'll go to the news with Chris while we're getting our next guest here. But okay, so I'm going to ask you a simple one to start. And these questions are designed for everybody to get to know Janie. I've been on the air for 2 years. People that are regular listeners are sick of hearing about me. So I'm going to ask you questions over the next couple of days. And that is, what
just
is your
know,
truck?
My friend, pay back. I will pay you back in spades. So go ahead.
What is your truck of choice?
My truck of choice is parked in, that's the easy one. My truck of choice is parked in my backyard right now. It's 2002 Dodge Ram Quad Cab Turbo Diesel, 5.9 liter.
I love you even more now. That's like my truck of choice too. So except do you have the dually in the back?
No, I don't have a dually. It's hard enough for me to park that thing without two wheels in the, you know, two wheels on each side in the back.
Jennifer doesn't like the dually either. So Jennifer doesn't like the dually, so we couldn't have a dually. But that's, I love the Dodge Ram diesels. We owned one before, and that is my truck of choice too. So look, we agree on that one for sure. We're coming up to our next segment here, Jamie. So you're off the hook on the rest of the questions till later. We'll get you later. Don't worry. We're doing a segment once a month called Vet Tales with somebody that I got to know on the Horse Tip Daily show. And that is Dr. Carrie DeLue. Dr. Carrie DeLue is a vet in California who is known widely for her work in chiropractic and acupuncture. She graduated with honors from Cornell University and went on to get her veterinary degree at UC Davis. She completed her active training from the Healing Oasis Wellness Center in Wisconsin and her acupuncture certification from the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society. So let's see. Dr. DeLue, are you there?
I am. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What about you?
Oh, good. It's a little earlier there. Sorry about that. Dr. DeLue is in California, and I think we're getting her out of bed this morning. But we appreciate you coming on and doing this with us once a month. You know, we've had so much fun, you and I, doing the tips on Horse Tip Daily. That's why I thought it would be fun to have you on this show.
Yeah, well, congratulations on the new show. I'm excited to see how it goes. Sounds good so far.
Well, good. Well, we appreciate that. Now, we're going to have you on once a month to talk about the wacky stories that you come across as a veterinarian. But before we get to that, I was telling my co-host Jamie yesterday that you have one of the most unusual pastimes. By the way, I'm not sure it's a pastime anymore, but one of the most unusual pastimes of any horse person I know. Tell us about it.
I play, well, as professional as Frisbee gets, I play Ultimate Frisbee. And my team competes around the world, and we actually just won U.S. Nationals in Florida last weekend.
Well, congratulations.
Nice.
What is Ultimate Frisbee?
It's a team sport, 7-on-7 on the field. It's sort of like, if you can picture soccer with a Frisbee instead of a ball, but it's really fast, like hockey, where if there's a turnover, it just changes directions right away. And you catch it in the end zone for a point and usually play to about 15. And yeah, there's about 26 of us on the team, and just you have to do a lot of running and catching and diving. It's a really fun, super fast growing sport. No one had ever heard of it when I started, and now almost every high school has it.
Now, that is one thing when you ask your vet, what do they do? What do you do in your spare time? Like vets have a ton of spare time, but you expect them to say, oh, you know, I trail ride. I've got a couple horses, or I don't ride horses at all. You know, you don't expect them to say, basically, I play hockey with a Frisbee.
Very true. I do the trail riding, but that has to fit in between the Frisbee tournaments.
Wow. Okay. Gotcha. That's very cool.
Now, Jamie, I have a question for her. So do your Frisbee skills match? Do they help you in your vet work, like catching the fast moving patients, or is that not really a help?
Well, I think with the chiropractic work, you have to be in decent shape to do, you know, 10 or 15 horses in a day. And so staying in the gym and just being, you know, in athletic shape, I think really helps me get through my day. Maybe some reflexes. I don't know.
Now, today, we're talking about vet bills, and we're talking about large vet bills, and we're having people call in and tell their stories about vet bills. You must have some stories of things you've seen. Now, we're talking about vet bills that had a happy ending, though. That's the qualification we're doing today. So tell us your vet tales that you think the audience would love to hear about.
Oh, let's see. The big vet bills, I don't know, a lot of the big vet bills don't end in happy endings, but I have some fun barter vet bills, which I always feel like those kind of just make my day, you know, when I have clients that...
Okay.
My favorite is the eggs. You know, a lot of times they'll come for just like a brief exam. You know, the bill probably is only, you know, it's under $100. And then the people are just like so sweet. They're offering me their chicken eggs. And the clients that I know really well know that I love eggs. So a lot of times you get a lot knocked off their bill. And the one client that would always give me eggs, at one point she just, I came, I did my appointment. She goes, I have something for you. And I was like, okay, I'm thinking it's eggs. She had 7 laying hens in all boxed up and ready for me to take with me home.
Oh my God.
Are they in your backyard?
Well, she knew that I had just moved and there was a chicken coop at the house. And so I think she was just like, well, you love eggs. Here you go.
Did you take them?
But did you? Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I totally took them. They lasted till I moved from Washington, and then I ended up giving them back. I didn't want to try and move them down to California. But, yeah, it was great. I feel like I always want to have chickens. It's a little harder in San Francisco, but it's still on the radar.
Well, Doctor, I actually have some laying hens in my backyard, and I don't know if I could give them back. I mean, I am so attached to these little hens. I love, they all have names and they all lay, you know, and 7 chickens, that's a lot of eggs a day, because that's about 6 eggs a day, isn't it?
Yeah, well, some of them are really old, so only like 3 actually laid. The rest were just in their like retirement home.
Like little pets. Did you have names for them?
Well, there were all black, so there are a couple I couldn't actually even tell apart, but there are a lot of black geese. They hadn't been handled that much, but I do love the ones where you can like go in and they squat and you grab them and then you can just like pet them and they're so cute.
Yeah. See, when I went to buy my hens, my husband and I wanted to get some chickens for our farm. So I go to this place that has, it was a kid that did 4-H, I guess, and he was selling all his 4-H hens. So they're all handled. And there was probably 15 different breeds. And they said, you know, what kind of hen do you want? Do you want the, and they started naming breeds. And I said, you know what? Just give me one of each color.
Perfect.
And then you have all these tell different them apart. Eggs. Uh-huh, I do. And it's just funny because then I could tell them apart. They all have their own names and they all look different, because I would be the same as you. I would have no idea which one was which, and it's no fun that way.
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying that when people give you those eggs and they have like every different color, you know, the blue and the brown and the big and the small, it's just like you can just picture their little hen colony like you described, just this motley crew of different little chickens with their headdresses and their feather feet. It's just so great.
I often wondered how many vets where the clients who can't really afford it and are having a tough time offer their horses in payment. That ever happened?
Yeah, I've definitely had a lot of people, if the horse is sick, especially, and they don't know if they're, oh, I actually did end up with one horse with back pain that they couldn't ride because it was bucking. We did some chiropractic work and it needed more. And they, you know, basically were sort of looking at the prognosis, which was it might always have a sensitive back. And it was a big person with a big saddle. And they were just like, why don't you just take it? So I did some chiropractic work on it, found it a good home. You know, it was one of those, like, let's just do the best thing for the horse and the money isn't really the issue. So aww. Yeah, there's some of those. There's the this isn't a good situation and, you know, maybe you can help it. Why don't you take it? And I would say vets, we aren't always in the position to add a horse to the crew.
Yeah.
But I mean, sometimes, you know, if it's basically a healthy animal that's going to be totally healthy, those aren't bad when the owners just can't deal with it.
Now, you're an acupuncturist as well. Have you seen over time now, how long have you been doing that? How many years?
Since 2003, so 7 years.
Okay, so you've been doing it for 7 years. Have you seen over the last 7 years that people are more accepting of acupuncture? And
oh, absolutely. I mean, it helps that I'm in San Francisco and wasn't near Seattle, and those cities are really like the human healthcare even covers acupuncture and chiropractic. And so then people get a lot more exposed and they get more accepting, and then they want it for their animals when they see the benefits to themselves. But I also think with the economy, sometimes as the like surgical options get more expensive and less reasonable, people look harder for something that, you know, acupuncture is not cheap, but if you can potentially solve it without, you know, thousands of dollars of surgery, people are looking a little harder for the alternative.
And do they come back?
I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Have you had a done maybe on your horses?
Sorry, are you talking to me?
Yeah, I said, have you had it done on your horses before, acupuncture?
You know what? Fortunately, the veterinarian that I worked with here does acupuncture, and the vets do a acupuncture scan. Do you scan them, Dr. DeLue?
Yes, yes. I mean, I usually, in my chiropractic session too, I'll do sort of a go over the acupuncture meridians and check for sensitivity. And a lot of times it'll indicate that there's something that's a problem before you even necessarily see a lameness. You know, they'll be really reactive in the point for the right front foot, you know, and then you're like, oh, okay, you know, we should do an acupuncture treatment and make sure this doesn't become a lameness.
Right. And see, that's what my vet did, is she went over, and this is what made me believe that acupuncture is so much time, so many times the way to go. She did the scan and she went over my warm blood's whole body and said, you know, the only thing where he's a little bit stuck is his back right hock. And I said, well, that's the only place that he stuck through a fence and cut into the joint. So that actually could happen. And so she said that's the only place that really could use some help was the back right hock. And that was his worst injury.
Yeah, it's so cool like that. It's almost like they're just telling you, like, this is my spot. This is where I'm stuck.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Dr. DeLue. We're talking to Dr. DeLue from out there in California. She's joining us once a month with her vet tales. And you've been around. I wonder if you see things in California that vets don't see in other parts of the country.
probably some. I mean, I had a client that you know, that called me out on emergency, and I'm trying not to do as much emergency work in California, but this is a horse that got hurt at the beach. And they didn't want to move the horse. So I had to wade out about like up to my mid thigh while they're holding the horse in the ocean to see what was going on. It turns out the horse was tying up because they'd been galloping and galloping on the beach and didn't want to walk. You know, so we just slowly let it out. But it was just standing there quivering and they didn't want to move it. And I was just like, as I was taking my shoes off to walk into the ocean, it's like, where else does this happen?
Yeah, that's a California thing there. You're not finding that in too many places. Well, thank you,
no,
Dr. DeLue. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being on with us today. And of course, everybody can listen to your tips. You've done some fascinating stuff on Horse Tip Daily. You can head over to horsetipdaily.com and just search for Dr. Carrie DeLue. And give everybody your website address as well.
My website is equineholisticvetmed.com.
And we'll put a link in that, our show notes to that. But you've done some fascinating tips on acupuncture, on chiropractic. And we always have the one whole tip we talked about, frisbee throwing. But that was right after you'd gotten back from the world. So it was allowed. And good luck with frisbee. Have fun out there in California.
Thanks so much. Take care, you guys.
Thank you.
Well, that was great.
Yeah, have you ever ridden a horse on the beach, Glenn?
No, but Jennifer has, and that is one of her favorite memories of horseback riding, was riding on the beach in Massachusetts. She absolutely loved doing that.
Oh, it's the coolest thing, but I can certainly understand where the owners of that horse would have just galloped and galloped and galloped and galloped, because you can just gallop as straight and as far as you can possibly go. And I could imagine doing some damage there too. You know, you got to be responsible when you're out riding, but it certainly is fun to ride on a beach. I've only got to do it one time in forever, but it was pretty amazing.
Well, we're going to be back. We would encourage your calls at 347-637-3238. If you have any shout outs to the veterans in your family or current active service members, we'd love to hear from you. In addition, we'd love to hear about your vet tales. We're doing vet bill roulette. Tell us what your most expensive vet bill was. And we're looking for the happy endings, though, the one that came out good in the end. That's what we're hoping for.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way.
You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
And thanks so much for listening to Horses in the Morning. We are taking your calls. We're trying to play a little game called Vet Bill Roulette, and we want to hear from everybody who has had a very big vet bill. Of course, Glenn wants it to have a happy ending. I don't know how possible that is, but I noticed that we do have one call in the air here that I find a little entertaining. Hi, Dad.
Hey, Sugar. How are you?
I'm doing good. Now, if you guys want to know where that y'all and Southern accent comes from, here's my daddy. What are you calling for?
Well, I've been wanting to tell y'all that I think, without a doubt, this is the best radio show I've ever heard.
Thanks, Dad. We appreciate that.
Yes, sir. You know, it's I do enjoy it very much. And even though, Glenn, I heard the other day that you did not like a good brand of music, when you did not like the Grand Ole Opry, I understand.
You know, it's just that particular day. It might have been that particular day. And you know what else I forgot to mention about that, Gene, is that we saw it at the Ryman Auditorium. And you know those benches. They have church pews in there. They're straight-backed and hard as a rock. And it was 2 hours on the church pews. And I have to admit, old country is not my favorite. I do like the newer stuff. But boy, I do admit that it got a little long on that 2 hours.
Well, you saw the Grand Ole Opry in the greatest spot in the world to see it. The Grand Ole Opry in the big theater that they have now is okay. But I love seeing the Ryman Theater, just sitting in there and, you know, And they have old and new, so it's fun. I just enjoy it. I always call to get front row seats, so it's a lot of fun. I enjoy that.
Well, now,
all right, one more time.
Okay, I'll give it another try, I promise.
Good. Now, the reason I was calling is y'all were talking about vet bills and everything, and it reminded me of the time that I guess she's 17-year-old daughter calls and says her horse is very sick, and we get it taken down to the University of Georgia, and after a little over $12,000, the horse was up and about, and it was a very expensive operation. And
I assume my daughter was where was Jamie.
Yes. With Jamie's been very expensive over the years also. But the horse did fine. You know, I know all y'all are horse lovers, but I got to be real honest with you. I didn't spend all that much money because I love that horse. I spent that money because I love my daughter. But the horse was fine, and that was made it all worthwhile. So.
Hey, Jamie, I'm going to get him to co-host the show someday. He sounds like a lot of fun.
Glenn, if you only would have heard him speak at my wedding. Oh, my gosh. The man is an entertainer. That is for sure.
They said that did go well. So that went very well. So I was real pleased about that. You had a beautiful wedding.
And by the way, that was the longest speech by a father at any wedding ever, but it was definitely the funniest. And Daddy, I'll just take this moment to thank you for saving Marche those many, many years ago. The horse actually had to have 2 colic surgeries in 2 weeks. And, you know, many people would have pulled the plug after, you know, I mean, not even gone to surgery. And then to have the vet come out and tell you need to do it again, I'm going to cry just talking about it. To have the vet come out and tell you that you have to do it again or put him down. And they gave him a 10% chance of living. And to me, as a 17-year-old who's had this horse since she's 10, 10% is better than nothing, you know? So, you know, I went to my dad and, you know, he said, that's what credit cards are for. And I just want to thank you right now. Still, you know, that horse went on to compete an event after that. So after 2 colic surgeries, he still went out and evented training level. So thanks, Poppy.
Oh, you know, honey, that's not a problem. Not a problem. But now it's Chad's problem, not mine from here on out. So y'all are on your own.
I know one person you won't be calling to pay the vet bill anymore.
No, there's no more vet bills paid at this end, I can assure you.
Thank you, Gene, for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Well, I'm just looking forward. Her two brothers and I are flying out to spend Christmas with her at her new farm, which I have seen before, but her brothers haven't. And we just looking forward to it. But I wish y'all all at that radio station the best. And if I can ever help y'all, just let me know.
All right. Thank you, Gene. You have a good day. Well, that was your dad. Well, that was very nice of him to call in and talk.
Oh, I'm sure he still wanted to rub it in that vet bill, but God love him. He's an awesome dad, so I couldn't be happier.
Well, and now I do know about the accent. I am shocked that you don't have more y'alls in your conversation there.
Oh, you should hear us talk on the phone. I don't know what happens to me, but it's like, you know, you get around people with other accents and I suck it right back up. Now, Glenn, I'll tell you, talking to my daddy just makes me get that southern accent.
I never knew. Oh, my God. When I heard him first start to talk, it was like, that cannot be her father. She's adopted at age 20 or something, because you've definitely done a good job of getting rid of all of that. For sure.
Isn't that funny?
Hey, we have Jamie from Arizona on here. Let's talk to Jamie and see what she has to say about vet bills. Hi, Jamie. You're on the air.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Jamie.
Well, my vet bill was $24,000.
Oh, my God. And it had a happy ending, right?
No.
Uh-oh.
So what happened?
Well, tell us what happened.
My husband was really nice, and he paid the vet bill, and he would again, I'm sure.
So give us the story.
What happened to the horse? Yeah.
Oh, she got bit by a rattlesnake on her tongue.
On her tongue?
On her tongue. And you couldn't see it, and her tongue swelled up as big as her head.
Was she just turned out of the tongue?
Nope. It came in with the hay.
Ooh. And it was so
alive. Oh, my gosh.
When it comes in with the hay, they're dead.
Yeah. I mean, we couldn't believe it. But, yeah, we came out. Her tongue was as big as her head, and off she went to the vet $24,000 later.
What did they do, out of curiosity?
They actually give her the snake bite venom, which is, okay. I believe, the anti-venom, which is, we had to do it like 4 or 5 times, and I think it's like $3,000 or $4,000 each time. And then they Then they cut out part of her tongue, and she was there for 12 days.
Wow.
And
did she come home from there?
No.
No.
But her 3-day-old colt did.
Oh, really? She had a baby while she was there?
Yeah, she had a baby right before she got bit.
Wow.
Did that mean you were bottle raising a baby?
No, we actually went out and got goats and milked the goats and gave it to the orphan.
Nice. $24,000. And pile of goats.
And well, we can't believe how many goats we had.
Now, when you first went in, what did they say when you first brought the horse? And obviously the tongue was, you know, swell up like all get out. Did they give you a prognosis of how, you know, whether 10% chance that this horse is going to survive? Did they tell you a little bit about snake bites? How many horses do survive? Or
this was the one and only time we've had a snake bite. And They actually didn't really. I had to go get the anti-venom from another vet because they didn't even have it.
Yeah.
So it's not very common, I guess.
No.
Wow. Oh, well, we're sorry to hear about your horse and that's what happened in the end. But do you still have the foal, the baby?
Yeah, he actually went on to run and win.
Oh, wow!
Woo, see, there's your happy ending.
There's a happy
yeah.
ending. That's what we were looking for.
There you go. That's it, huh?
I knew we could find one here somewhere.
So we appreciate you calling in. Thank you, Jamie. And you have a good rest of the day and enjoy that baby.
Hey, you guys have a good time, too.
Thanks, Jamie. Well,
that was great. That was nice of Jamie to call in. Looks like we have Jackie on the line. Let's say hi to Jackie. Let me see if I can get her on the line here. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Glenn. Hi, Jamie.
Hey, it's Jackie.
Hey, Jackie.
Yeah, that's Jackie.
It's the one and only Jackie. So tell us, Jackie, you have a vet bill story?
I do. And sometimes big vet bills aren't just about the dollar amount. Sometimes I think it's the dollar amount into proportion to what ends up being wrong. Two summers ago, I paid about $500 in the end for my horse to be diagnosed with a thrush infection.
What?
Yeah, it was kind of weird because he was kind of just a little off for a while. Nothing major, just a little uneven in his back end. And so when the vet came out in the summer to do his teeth, I had him check him out. You know, he did flex tests. He did nerve blocks. He, you know, figured out that it was in the lower part of his leg, fetlocker below. So he took some x-rays looking for arthritis. Those came back clean. He said, well, maybe it's a soft tissue injury. I bet he's got something wrong with the suspensory. So I spent 2 weeks Googling suspensory damage and panicking about my horse being on stall rest for the next year while I waited to take him in for an ultrasound. We drive him down to the vet and he starts, you know, doing some of those basics all over again, hoof testers and trotting them out. And he did another nerve block. This time he thought, oh, it's in his hoof. You know, he had a digital pulse this time that he didn't have the first time. And so he did another x-ray, and in the x-ray, he could see that funky gray area, you know, from his frog where there was an infection. And he goes to get a better x-ray, and he takes a hoof knife and just starts cleaning up his frog a little bit because it was a little thick, and he discovers a thrush infection had gotten in way down deep in the collateral groove and gone in through the side of his frog. So you couldn't see it, you couldn't smell it, and it was inside, and it had gotten to within like 7 millimeters of the coffin bone.
Ooh,
before
oh my
we
gosh.
Discovered it. So all he had to do, he cleared out all that necrotic tissue, gave me some antibiotics that I packed in there for 5 days, and within 2 weeks, totally good.
Wow, that's great.
Yes,
well, we're glad it ended well.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive thrush medication I've ever heard of.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it's worth it.
Yeah.
It was a happy ending.
Yeah, you know
thanks
what? I'll
so
take
much
it
for your call.
He was okay in 2 weeks, so thanks, guys.
Well, thanks, Jackie. We appreciate it.
Sorry.
And let's go ahead and talk to Tina. Tina, you have a vet bill story?
But I want to give a shout out to my dad, who's a vet. Hello.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, not a veterinarian, a veteran.
Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, well, he's 92 years old. He lives in Laguna Leisure World. He's a World War II veteran. He loves his golf and his gardening, and he drives a Prius, and he has a new companion.
Why do I find that funny? For some reason, picturing a 92-year-old vet in California driving a Prius, I just find that funny.
That's a great image.
Well, you would never know. He's 90 years old. He is, or 92 years old. He's awesome. So anyway,
did you say he was World War II?
Go ahead. Sorry, Glenn, go ahead.
Did you say he was World War II?
Yes.
And where did he serve in World War II?
Well, I believe he was in Germany. He speaks a number of languages. He's Russian. He grew up in China. He speaks German, French, and Chinese and Russian.
Amazing.
Is he one of those guys you can just sit down? I love these guys. Is he one of those guys you can just sit down to and listen to all day tell stories?
You know, he's not. He doesn't talk a lot. But I've actually met some friends of his that were his friends in China, and they were from all over Europe. Their families had businesses there. Pretty interesting.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we thank him for his service, and thank you so much for calling in. That's amazing.
Tina, where do you listen? How do you listen to our show?
Well, I'm listening. Well, I basically always listen on my iPhone. I usually don't get to listen live, But today I am able to listen live, and I want to get home, I download it, and then I listen while I'm doing barn chores in the afternoon.
Oh, well, that's great. And you know what? We appreciate you calling in. Now you're entered also to win the $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, and also your choice of a Vespucci bridal from World Equestrian Brands. So we appreciate you calling in. Please call in more often when you get a chance, and we're glad you're listening out there in California so early in the morning.
No, it's not early for me. I get up at 4:30 and the show's on at 6.
She does my hours.
I do want to say, you know, remind you that Gina Miles invited you to come out here to our beautiful Central Coast and do some wine tasting. So,
we're definitely taking her up on that. So I'm picking the middle of winter myself.
And, you know, we're having a start Twin Rivers next spring. So,
you know what we have to do? We'll have to get this arranged. We'll have to do this when we go out there. There is a wine train that leaves, I think, out of Petaluma, California, through wine country, and you get dinner and you get to taste all the different wines, and then they stop at wineries and stuff. We'll have to get a wine train for horse people. We'll have to fill it with horse people.
Ooh.
And we'll all go out together. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be. That's a little north of us. We're in the more Paso Robles area, Santa Ynez. So we've got Monterey Roberts over the hill to the south, and, you know, we're in a beautiful area too, but Petaluma's beautiful. So whatever, you know, come get out here, okay?
Okay, that sounds
Let's
good.
Do it.
Thanks,
Bye.
Tina.
Thank you all. Have Bye. A great day. Bye.
Awesome. We are taking calls today. Obviously, it's Veterans Day, Glenn, and we want to talk to everybody about their favorite veterans. And also Vet Bill Roulette, first, you know, $24,000, I think, on a snake bite, $500 on Thrush. And of course, my dad calling in and talking about my horse growing up, colic surgery.
Unfortunately, I can't contribute to this. The big vet bills that we've had did not happen or have a happy ending. So I'm not even going to contribute to that conversation. But I'll tell you what did have a happy ending yesterday that we haven't had a chance to talk about yet is our Facebook fans. We are now remember yesterday we were begging and pleading and telling people to go out and write it on their Facebook pages to get us over 300. Well, we're at 341. 341.
No way.
So, yay. Yes. Good job,
that's
everybody.
Fantastic.
Yeah, they got
that's
us up
that's
to 300.
That's almost 100 hits in a day. So hopefully all those people are listening. We want to say hello to you. Thanks for being a Facebook fan. That's basically how we like to communicate with everybody is via Facebook. So you can learn a lot about the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning just by joining us on Facebook.
And we want to thank equine.com, of course, is a very big popular site. They put a shout out to us yesterday on their Facebook page, and also HorseLink Magazine and Equestrian Collections all were helping in the cause and regarding horses. There are a bunch of people yesterday put shout outs. And we also want to thank our Twitter followers. We have quite a few Twitter fans that announce our show coming on every day. We appreciate everybody doing that on Twitter as well. So I had a neat thing happen yesterday. I was at a meeting yesterday, Jamie, for DiscoverHorses.com. DiscoverHorses.com is a collaborative site that was put together by many different associations and businesses. And what it is meant to do, it's meant to be a portal for people that aren't currently horse owners or aren't involved in the horse world in any way. It's meant to be a place that they can go to learn about horses, to discover horses, thus the name. So it's really meant to attract new people into the horse world. And as we all know, that's something that we've got to do better. It's something as an industry we're not very good at. We tend to live in silos and be very closed. Well, one of the things that we try to do here in the shows is attract new people. And that's what Discover Horses does, too. So if you haven't ever had a chance to visit Discover Horses, stop on over there. They have lots of great information. It's a fun site. And as I said, it's meant if you have somebody that's interested in becoming a horse person, send them to Discover Horses first. It's a good place to stop first. And they're adding all kinds of new features that will be coming up here in the next couple of months. And we thank them for all their effort. It's a very noble effort, I think.
You know what's really cool, Glenn, is I was actually on Discover Horses this morning. And it's very topical because, you know, there's certain things that, like I have a 10-year-old student that boards her horse at my house. And they're new horse owners. And they were just asking me how to fit blankets and how to do, you know, get shipping boots. And Discover Horses is a great great website to help you kind of find out all that information. So I already emailed them the link to the blanket fitting on Discover Horses, and there's just some really great basic tips. And they also kind of delve into some things that are a little bit more, you know, in depth, but a great, what's the word I'm looking for? It is just, it's a great thing to have in your back pocket. It's a resource.
Yeah, it's kind of a beginner's source, and that's what it's really meant to be. Yep. It's
resource.
A beginner's resource.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, there you go.
I have my
well, three of us. It took three of us to get the word resource out, you know, so that says something. We actually just got an email from Michelle down there in Louisiana, Wright Lead Equestrian Center, and she says, tell Jamie if she needs a horse fix while in New Orleans to give me a call. The farm is only 45 minutes from the city, so if you need to take a ride while you're down there, you can go visit Michelle and she'll set you up. She'll probably put you on one of those Cleveland Bays of hers. So
I'm packing my half chaps. I'm packing my jeans and half chaps right now.
Yeah, pack
That's
your
awesome.
Helmet too.
Thank
because
you.
Pack your helmet too, because I know she doesn't let anybody ride without helmets on her property. So
I wouldn't ride without one.
All right. So
yeah,
341 people on Facebook. Thank you very much. That's a lot of fun. Our daily prize today, which we'll pick a winner here shortly and we'll post it on Facebook, is a pair of World Equestrian Brand Stretch Flex bandages worth $90. We highlighted them on the Tack and Habit episode number 23. And of course, everybody that called today, is including your dad, is eligible for the grand prizes, although I kind of think I know where that would end up, is eligible for the grand prizes of $500, a shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, and also the Vespucci Bridle from World Equestrian Brands. And that will be given away the first day of December, and we'll draw from everybody that called in over the month. Be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. All the new episodes are now coming out from Wednesday through Friday. Most of them pop out there. And you can follow us on Facebook. As I said, just search for Horses in the Morning. And we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And of course, if you missed the live show, you can always listen to the recorded version. You may be doing that right now. You can go to our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You never have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Well, Glenn will be back with guest co-host Helena B. Yes, I've worked a whole 2 weeks and I have to take a day off to
get
to a wedding.
Yeah, you worked so hard.
And Jennifer's going to be on doing her book review, and we're going to have our weekly chronicle report. So thanks so much, everybody, for listening today. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Well, goodbye, Jamie. I'm going to miss you over the weekend. We'll be back on Monday as we're recording. We'll be back with you on Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. But we'll be back with you on Monday as we're recording from Ocala, Florida, the home of EasySignsOnline.com.